Eric McRomello.
He is a slime. If he's allowed to go free, then something really wrong is going on.
Mr. Kirkland, you are out of order.
You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order. They're out of order.
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order. I show you out of order. You don't know what out of order is, Mr.
Steve Lloyd.
I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too blind. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
All right, 12:01. Pretty much starting the show. We had that very brief segment after the World Championship coverage. We said hello to you. It's myself, Steve Lloyd. It's Grand Prix. It's producer Kenny Walls. And then we're right into our first guest. And he's on time. Eric McRomello for Out of Order right now, joining us on that Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Eric, good afternoon. How are you in this muggy Monday?
My man, why would I not be on time? I'm always on time. I mean, I'm right here. I'm waiting for you. I spend my entire Monday just sitting, looking at my phone, beginning at 8 o'clock, just in case you decide to hop on the air earlier and call me. I'm here.
All right. There you go. It's all good. Now, we can go in many different directions, but I'm going to go in a direction that kind of relates to, you and I spent quite a bit of time on this on Offside last week, and that's the Tom Brady money, the 10-year deal for his new media deal that will kick in whenever his playing days come to an end. And you and I, we got right into, you know, Tony Romo. He kind of changed the game with when he came in and the money he was making, and Aikman's got it. Anyways, it's now we've got kind of a cascade of events, and now Tom Brady is going to be making more money than he ever made playing football on this 10-year deal whenever he decides to retire, maybe after this upcoming season. And my kind of pivot to freshen up this conversation, what do you make of the news from Drew Brees that was reported over the weekend that he is leaving NBC after just 1 year? And Brees took to social media. He didn't really put the fire out saying, I'm definitely not coming back to play. He left that option open, and he just basically said everything's on the table, but it does seem clear that he's not staying with NBC. Just a thought from you. How did you like Brees as an analyst? He was widely panned as a color analyst, but for the most part, he was on the desk. Do you think this is maybe NBC? They're kind of happy that this is the parting of ways?
But it was reported really as a mutual parting of the ways. But we've all seen that episode of Seinfeld where no breakup is really mutual. There's always one party that initiates the breakup. And they had plans for Brees working in the booth. And I suspect, like everybody else, that game that he called or the analyst for, they were not impressed. And a lot of us were not impressed. He was not very good. And while you can improve when you do that, there certainly is a ceiling. And so you're just assessing his potential for growth and improvement. And he wasn't very strong.
I would say you need to hit a floor, right?
Yeah.
Initially. And he didn't hit a floor.
There. Yeah. I mean, you know, when Tony Romo came in at the beginning, very first game, he was, his performance was outstanding and frankly unprecedented. And no one would be better than him, including Tom Brady. It's just, Tony Romo was just designed to do this type of work. Collinsworth is very good at what he does. Drew Brees was not very good at what he did. And working the panel, he was fine. But there was nothing, I think, that was entirely compelling for the viewer watching Drew Brees. And so the writing was on the wall, I think, for him. And I think he understood that his future was not with NBC. There's a chance that another network might pick him up. But based upon that performance, I don't think that, it's something they'd be enthusiastic about. I always think back to Witten when he came out of when he left the Cowboys and came in the booth, and he was unintelligible. I don't know what language he was speaking in terms of NFL games, but it most certainly wasn't English. It made absolutely no sense. You needed that translator or that guy who did sign language from Nelson Mandela's funeral to really do sign to make anything he was saying make any sense. He was gone after 1 year, played for the Cowboys, will never work in a booth again. And so networks understand that while there's room for improvement, you can only improve so much.
What do you make of Drew Brees' tweet? Do you believe there's any chance that he does play football again?
You know, I think that when he dispatched that tweet, it was designed to throw a lot of potential options at the end user or the fan or whatever to make it seem like he hasn't made up his mind about going back to NBC. I suspect, however, NBC has made up its mind about Drew Brees. So perhaps he's trying to control the narrative a little bit and to alter context to favor him, and that's understandable. I would be surprised to see him back with NBC. I don't see it. I think that basically the plan to have in the booth is not going to work. And then insofar as Drew Brees goes, yeah, I understand that. You know, I was down for the Super Bowl in 2013 with the press pass, and that was in New Orleans. It was the 49ers against the Ravens. And I saw Drew Brees down there a number of times. The city is small enough that you bump into everybody all the time. He is an absolute god in Louisiana. And I can't even sort of understate that. I mean, overstate it, excuse me. He wherever he goes, he is the focal point. They love Drew Brees. So, you know, there are many options for him with respect to keeping busy. I just don't think it's in the booth.
So this is the tweet he put out. Despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. And I think you nailed it with your last answer there, Eric, in that a phrase that you will often utter when we have wide-ranging discussions about anything sports, business-related here, or legally, right? This has a profile for settlement, doesn't it? In that Drew Brees, maybe this is all about he would like to maybe get a number from NBC to get out from under the contract because they've told them they're minimizing his role because they're not happy with his performance. And maybe this is all about getting that number so we just walk away clean.
Yeah, I mean, when you, and I'm glad you read the tweet because in that tweet he says working for NBC, but he's intentionally general with respect to what working for NBC means. It could continue to be working the desk as an analyst, on Sunday night, on the Sunday night football broadcast before the game actually broadcasts, so the pregame, or it could be selling popcorn. I don't know, at NBC. It could be anything, but it's not working the booth. And if it was, I suspect he would stick around. And just like you have just mentioned now, he likely has been told by NBC, you know, it's not going to work out in the way that you want it to work. Perhaps you can come back in your, you know, in your current role, but that may not be something he's interested in. And he's someone who is accustomed to success and achieving a certain outcome that hasn't worked out here. And so, you know, he may be mulling over, okay, what do I want to do with my future? But he is definitely trying to control context and the narrative by way of that tweet. That's the only reason why he sends out that tweet. It's really with a view to, it's an attempt at damage control.
Now, with this still unfolding, it kind of reminds me on a much smaller scale, obviously, we're talking about in Canada. Do you both remember Creature and Eric? You remember when Ty Domi was briefly with TSN, right? And TSN hired Ty Domi to be a student, and it was they made a big deal about it. And Ty Domi, and who was just coming off his career and was a very big name, obviously, in Toronto and through hockey, everybody knew who Ty Domi was. And it started with he was like kind of featured big panelist, and then it just wasn't working. And they went through about three or four different things. And it got to the point where at the very end, I think they just had Duffy and Ty Domi. They tried, all right, can we get a minute out of you? You know, there's something very direct that we'll pre-record and we'll air and we're going to name it Ty's whatever. And then that still was like, you know what? It's still not working. And then it just seems like Drew Brees, right? Start him on the desk and you're insulated because you're with other people and, you know, everybody expect to get a little bit better. He was okay, right? And then the plan was to put him in the booth. Like, oh, man. And now NBC's thinking, what's next here? What do we do? What do we do to keep the name that is Drew Brees and we've signed him to a multi-year deal? How do we make this work? And they've let him know that it's not going to be, as you said, the way you thought it was going to go. And now you're probably just going to see a conscious uncoupling, Eric, at some point here.
Yes, and they may indeed hire Gwyneth Paltrow. Looking at it now online, the TSN press release, September 19th, 2006, announcing the hiring of Ty Domi. So thanks for that reminder. And he didn't, I don't think he lasted more than a month. So
no.
Less than 30 days. You know, and here's the thing, you know, with Drew Brees' situation. And I thought he did a good job on the desk as an analyst during the pregame, is that, you know, those skills don't always translate to the booth. You know, you might think it's logical that it should. You know, by way of example, you can be a guest on a radio show, but it doesn't translate to you hosting a show, by way of example. So the listeners might think, you know, viewers, oh, that stuff's all the same, but it's not. In fact, when you do a radio show, if you're the host or you're the sidekick, that dynamic results in a different performance. So if you're hosting a show, you do perform differently than if you're the person being asked questions or who makes comments, you know, at certain times and, you know, as the quote co-host. So while it looks very similar, Steve and Graham, I think you would agree that while the differences are nuanced, when you're actually in those chairs, they're quite pronounced.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I know Lloydie has a follow in terms of more broadcasting related news, but I just wanted to get to the breaking news is the Vegas Golden Knights have announced that they have fired Pete DeBoer. And I think the obvious name, well, I'll get you to react to that, but the obvious name a lot of people speculating would Barry Trotz be interested? And I know Darren Dreger reported at the time of that firing that Trotz could potentially also want a front office type role. But I guess initial reaction to the firing of Pete DeBoer and who could potentially be a good fit there.
Yeah, I guess this news just broke like 10 minutes ago. And I guess not a surprise. I guess, you know, insofar as that looked like a good team on paper, this is really Vegas's first season that you could characterize as a failure insofar as their roster vis-a-vis expectation. I think they expected more. But at the same time, they had, you know, they had injury issues. So I don't know to what extent this firing was fair, but in the press release, they were saying that they had, you know, discussions with DeBoer for a couple of weeks and thought, you know, heading in a different direction was probably a good idea. So perhaps it was a philosophical disconnect or there were issues with respect to where both sides saw this team heading in the future. But certainly Trotz could be a logical choice to fill that position because he has been a coach that has enjoyed a lot of success.
A couple of, I know McCrimmon was technically born in Saskatchewan, a couple of Manitoba guys as well, possibly, if you wanted to kind of connect the dots. And just some other news from about a half hour before that, Lane Lambert, speaking of Trotz, he was Barry Trotz's assistant in Nashville, in Washington, and on the island, and now he's the new head coach of the Islanders. That's the direction that Lou Lamoriello has decided to go in as he is promoted from within to find his new head coach. And let's just pivot there as well. We know that Vegas is, you know, salary cap jail, and so they've decided to move on from Pete DeBoer. To me, it's not all about this, Eric, but this has to be at least part of it. This is easier to do, right? If you want to affect some change with your organization, it's much more difficult to try to alleviate yourself from all these salary cap restraints, which we'll still have to do and make some tough choices. But to me, I think the Vegas Golden Knights started with the easiest thing they could do if they wanted to make a change. And, you know, it doesn't have to always be the coach's fault, but when you come through a season like that, goodbye, right? And this happens quite a bit, even if it's not totally deserving.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the old expression, you can't fire the team, so you might as well fire the coach. And he hasn't been, you know, coaching the Knights for a long period of time. I think it was just like a couple of years, right, or a year and a half. So it's not as if he's been the head coach of the Knights for a long time. I just wonder, you know, oftentimes before you fire someone, you have to think of the replacement. And this is in any sport, in any position, coaching or players. And you ask yourself, okay, what's the alternative? If we are to replace this person, the person that we get, the successor, is this an improvement? And I wonder to what extent Barry Trotz being fired from the Islanders encouraged Vegas and incentivized them to fire DeBoer because they were aware that maybe they had a possible replacement that, from their standpoint, would represent an upgrade. And so you wonder to what extent that, you know, those dominoes kind of fell in that sequence. But, you know, Vegas has got salary cap issues. There's no doubt about that. But they're also a good hockey team. And if they can stay healthy, they can do some damage. But from goaltending up, they lost a lot of games to injuries.
Speaking of good hockey teams, the Maple Leafs Real good hockey team and came real close, but ultimately didn't get to where they want to be. And I think a lot of people have seen since the loss in Game 7, a lot of people have suggested leaving it, running it back with the same group because they're that close. Although the one kind of change that I've seen that people would potentially go with would be behind the bench with Sheldon Keefe. What do you think of that, especially with Barry Trotz currently being available? Is that something that would push the Maple Leafs over the top? How would you react to the Leafs and that potential possibility?
Isn't it funny that Trotz being fired, probably the best thing that ever happened to him, he'll probably, you know, get a significant increase in his salary, you know, so long as he actually agrees to coach. He might just sit. Who knows? But here's the thing about the Leafs is they had a really good regular season, 115 points. They won twice as many games as they lost, even more than that. They played Tampa in the first round. Like, that's a good team. That's a team that you talk about dynasties, right? Is this team, if they win another cup, this is a modern-day dynasty. That's a good hockey team. Yeah, Vasilevskiy didn't play well. Yeah, the Leafs blew a lead, you know, in the series, but they were playing a really good team. I understand that the consecutive losses in the playoffs and so far is not closing. I get all that, and I get this legacy and this culture that seems to have evolved that they can't close, don't have a killer instinct. I get all of that, but they played a really good team, and there's so much parity now. I don't know, like, to play the Lightning in the first round, that's a tough matchup for the Maple Leafs, and every matchup in the East would have been a tough matchup for any team. So I don't know if you need to tear things down. I think the coach comes back, the general manager comes back. Maybe you try and acquire another player or two that's got more of that killer instinct to kind of help complement, you know, your goal scorers. Tell Nylander to play a bit more defense maybe. But I don't know if this is a situation where you tear it down. They still had a really good season.
All right, last one for you, a different direction, but it's a topic we've covered somewhat before, and that's Kyrie Irving. Interesting, within the last few days, reports have indicated that, you know, Nike will not be renewing his deal when it expires within a year. He's got a new kind of shoe coming out here, but that it sounds like that's going to be it. And this is worth millions, right? These are big, big-time deals, these shoe deals in the NBA. And you know where I'm going. The obvious question is, how much money do you think Kyrie Irving has cost himself with how he handled things and only able to play the away games, and basically the GM of the Nets after the season saying we need people that are going to be available? You know, beyond he's got an option left on his actual contract, but how much money do you think he's cost himself total?
I think Kyrie fatigue has resulted in multiple millions of dollars being forfeited by Irving. He recently effectively referred to himself as the demagogue or messiah. And I think just people have had enough of this self-indulgent, borderline narcissistic NBA player. Yeah, he makes 30 plus million a year, so he's not incentivized to change his behavior. But my goodness, you play on a team, you put your teammates first. You tell this to kids when they're like 6 years old moving up. And there's nothing about Kyrie that strikes us, at least, as he's a strong team player. He's driven by self-interest. He's driven by misinformation. I remember he declared the earth was flat a while ago. You know, when COVID was at its peak, had no clue what we're doing or what we're dealing with. He goes to a party, everybody that gets infected. I think that brand owners, and I act for these guys, are risk averse. And his shoe is a nice shoe. It's done really well. But I think even a company like Nike that tends to be ambitious and adventurous with respect to their business model, I think they are even saying, we wanted the Kyrie business because we've also had enough.
All right, last one for you. Real quick on Drew Brees. If he's leaving NBC, and it seems to be the case, do you think part of the negotiation, if you, Drew Brees, would you say, all right, I'm keeping the hair. That's part of the deal.
What do you mean his hair? Is it like a hairpiece?
Oh, man, come on. Kreacher, right?
Like, is it?
His hairline totally changed when he arrived on the desk for NBC. It was like, what's going on here? It was night and day.
Yeah, it was like Costanza when he had the piece on.
Exactly. It was Costanza. Good point.
No, like, look, the most obvious hair piece in sports history for me was when the Canadians traded Bobby Smith for a fourth-round pick. He was at the airport, and there was something on his head. I don't know what it was, but it was this, like, an animal had just nested on his head, and it was the most ridiculous-looking hairpiece, like an 80s hairpiece. But I guess I'm looking now at photos, but those were like plugs to me. No?
No, no, I think, but I think NBC paid for them, right? All right, I think it was part of the deal.
I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe,
okay.
Maybe look, I know when Joe Buck had his plugs, he lost his voice. Maybe when Breeze got his plugs, he lost his brain for broadcasting. I don't know.
Oh, look at that. It all comes around, eh? There we go. Okay, Eric, you enjoy the rest of your Muggy Monday, and you and I will do it again with Offside coming up later this week.
I love you guys more than Breeze's bald head. Take care.
All right. Eric Macromella, out of order, on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators. We'll take a break, and yeah, breaking coaching news. Creature, we're going to delve into that a little bit more, and let's not forget about the old conflict with Robin Leonard. You know, is this dismissal, is that part of it? With DeBoer v. Leonard and how that played out, and now DeBoer is out as head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll touch on it all coming up next on In the Box on TSN 1200.